Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I'm so happy to see all of you today. I wish we had this kind of weather yesterday. So please, in that vein, please join me in thanking everyone who came out to help with cleanup day yesterday. Special thanks goes to Sandy, Clara, Cliff, Carol, Peggy, Kimberly, Roy. I feel like I'm missing someone.
Cliff.
I said Cliff. Okay.
You.
Wow. Whatever. please join me in thanking them so much. Even with the rain, we got a lot accomplished. We cleaned out the basement, which was, if you want to take a look in the dumpster, that's pretty much the entire, that's everything from the basement. Yes. we got a lot accomplished. We even had some fellowship, so it was really necessary. Thank you. And I think Cliff has some pictures there of that. And I wore my mentally rolling my eyes right now shirt, just so everybody knew how I felt about it. Next week, it's finally here. Next week is Pentecost. Please wear your fire colors, red, orange, yellow. Be as wild or as tame as you would like to be. You want to wear a feather boa? Do it. You got a flaming headband? All right. This is a really big celebration in the life of the church as we commemorate the bestowal of the Holy Spirit on the church universal. Those of you who have volunteered to participate in the worship service, you'll be getting more detailed instructions via email in the next couple of days, so be on the lookout for that. Any announcements that I've missed? No. Oh, deacons, we are meeting after worship today. All right. With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God. Shout for joy, sing songs of praise, for God reigns over all the earth. God has gone up with a shout. Sound the trumpets and sing songs of praise. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus tells us that repentance and forgiveness is to be offered in his name. Therefore, let us confess our sins to God, who assures us of new life through the power of Christ's redeeming love. We confess, O God, that too often we have our heads in the clouds. We are more comfortable with dreaming of the world as we wish it would be, instead of working with you to bring that wish to reality. At times, we find it difficult to claim the power you've given us. Surely you have others more capable to be your witnesses. And so we continue to gaze heavenwards. Jolt us out of our complacency, O God. Remind us to get a move on. Remind us we have work to do with you. Give us your energy, courage, and vision to be your witnesses to the end of the earth. We are God's people, created, loved, and forgiven. The God of all grace has called us by name. God will restore, support, strengthen, and establish us. It is good news to celebrate. We are forgiven. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem.
We will be your witnesses.
was very robust this morning. Yeah. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. I would ask that you lift up prayers for Arlie's sister, Lori Osborne. She was hospitalized earlier this week, and it looks like she's going to be in for like 3 to 4 weeks this time, but we'll know more about it later, I guess. Also keep in prayer Sue Galley's brother and her son-in-law. Both are struggling with some illnesses, and I gotta say, like, prayers of Thanksgiving, I was really happy to see Lynn, like, walking upright and, like, at a normal pace. So,
thank you for your prayers.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I didn't get a chance to stick my card in.
No, that's yeah, that's amazing. I'm so happy to see you. All right. Let us pray together. Oh God, we gather with the disciples' questions on our hearts. Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Sudan, to Ukraine, to Ethiopia, to Uvalde, to all the places where grief and fear blanket the lives of your people? We remember the answer given. It's not for us to know the times. And yet, we want to know. We desperately want to know. We want to know when there will be an end to violence and hate and oppression. We desperately want to know when people created in your image will exhibit love and care for one another as first action. We desperately want to know when nations will turn swords into plowshares and leaders will lead with the well-being of the people uppermost in their hearts. And then we remember the rest of what Jesus said to his disciples about receiving power from the Holy Spirit, about being his witnesses. And we wonder, just like your disciples 2,000 years ago, here on the cusp of Pentecost, what power do you have in store for us? What are the ways you call us to witness? What would you have us say and do as we continue to live a life of faith? And so we return to our question. Is this the time, O God? Is it the time for us to claim the power you have given us? Is it the time for us to claim our role as witnesses? We pray for a sense of your clarity and your vision. Lead us, O God, in the ways and witness that will reveal your desire and intentions for your world. As we immerse ourselves in your word, we are reminded that you are the parent to orphans and protector of widows. You give the desolate a place to live. Scripture shows us again and again and again how you care and love for the oppressed, discounted, and ignored. Is this the witness that you call us to? Would you invite us, O God, to join you in this work? The work of care and love for the ones disregarded and cast aside. Following the example of praying for his disciples, we are bold to pray for your world, your children, and for ourselves. May our prayers give voice to the truth, to the hurts of our hearts and the commitments of our souls. May we, with honesty, acknowledge the world as it is and pray for your guidance as we, your disciples, work for the world you desire. We offer this prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It's a nice camp song. Be seated. I love camp songs. Thank you. God has given us the gift of Christ, risen and ascended, for the life of the world. Therefore, let us offer our gifts in return so that others may know this glorious news. Thank you. God of all glory and majesty, we give you thanks for the gift of your Son and his power at work in our lives and our gifts. Bless these gifts for the benefits they afford in bringing life to others in your name. Bless our lives that we may be your witnesses to the end of the earth as we love and serve you. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is from Acts 1, 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This is a reading of God's word.
Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, open our minds to see the power of Scripture to give life. Enlighten our hearts so that we might see Christ in all whom we meet. In the name of the one holy and living God. Amen. So today is Ascension Day, and this is the day, it's like 40 days after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and Jesus ascended into heaven. And Jesus is still in heaven today, seated at the right hand of God, advocating for us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities here on earth. This is still a pretty important day for us as Christians and the church, and I don't think it gets a lot of the attention that maybe it deserves. And if I didn't preach about the Ascension today, one of my professors, my theology professor, would be really mad at me because the Ascension, he thinks the Ascension is the most important thing in the entire world. And so much so that he got me this mug. It says W-I-J-D. And that means, what is Jesus doing? Not what would Jesus do, but what is Jesus doing? Because Jesus is advocating for us up in heaven right now. I'm going to talk a little bit about balloons. I had never really given hot air balloons a second thought before I lived in Albuquerque. But there are a lot of really cool things about Albuquerque, and I think the International Balloon Fiesta is probably one of the most magical of those things. It's how I came to know anything about hot air balloons. And so this is a festival that kicks off. It starts the first Saturday in October, and it goes through 9 days. And it kicks off on that first Saturday in October with a mass ascension. And by mass ascension, I mean over 500 hot air balloons go up in the air at the same time. It is a sight. And they stay in the sky. Well, they go up weather permitting, right? But they stay in the sky for at least 2-3 hours. And you'll see them all over the city throughout the course of the week. And Albuquerque is known for its hot air ballooning weather. So this is actually something you don't see 500 at the same time, but you'll often see hot air balloons in the sky around Albuquerque year round. Jesus is not a balloon. I do know that. So let's back up a little bit. We'll come back to balloons in a minute. The disciples are still in Jerusalem. It's 40 days after the resurrection. They've seen Jesus, and they've talked to plenty of other people who've seen Jesus, and they've talked to Jesus. They've listened to him teach more about God's kingdom. But it's been a long journey, and they're thinking it's about time to start heading back to Galilee, because obviously Jesus is going to stick around for a while. And they've got their things packed up, but Jesus tells them, no, wait here in Jerusalem. You need to stay here in Jerusalem. You need to wait for the fulfillment of God's promise. And at this, the disciples are so excited. They're certain that this means God is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. And they pointedly ask, Jesus, like, when are you going to do it? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This is both an understandable and a tragic question. I mean, the promise of their nation's restoration has been at the forefront of their minds for millennia. If anyone could displace the Romans and resurrect a nation, Jesus can. And the disciples were thinking more about kingdom in these political, nationalistic terms. Just like they were right before the crucifixion during Palm Sunday. They were hoping that Jesus was going to use violence and brute force to regain control of Israel and to help them shape the world into Israel's image. They want that power. They want that control. And I understand that, because I've had the terrifying pleasure of riding in a hot air balloon more than a few times. If you go to Balloon Fiesta, you can volunteer as a crew member, and you get free rides that way. One of the things that I realized way up in the air is that there is not a lot of control. Because the pilots are mathematical meteorologic wizards, and they can vaguely steer a balloon in a kind of direction, but really you're still at the mercy of the wind's whim up there. And as a passenger, I have absolutely no power. That's kind of Jesus' answer to the disciples. He rejects all speculations about when the kingdom's going to come to with finality. Jesus basically says, you know what, this is none of your business. This is up to God. This isn't your job. Our job is to be getting ready by being his witnesses. And by being his witnesses all over the world, not just in Israel, not just to Jewish people, but everywhere, to everyone. Furthermore, Jesus says that this kingdom Jesus has been talking about, it's not a state or a nation or something that you can point to on a map. The kingdom Jesus is talking about is a whole global society where God's will would be as perfectly done as it is in heaven. It's a kingdom that is founded on love for God and for one another. It's not an earthly kingdom of political power. Jesus is saying that God's reign will be reestablished among God's people, not by apocalypse from heaven, but by a mission through people on earth. The outpouring of the Spirit, it's coming. You'll hear about it next week. The outpouring of the Spirit is going to come, and it will equip the disciples with new skills that enable them to perform the tasks at hand. Namely, mission on a global scale, not just in Israel. And then, as Jesus was speaking, Jesus was lifted up and a cloud just took him out of their sight. Jesus ascends into the realm of God in front of everyone. That's happened to me with hot air balloons, where liftoff starts kind of rocky and slow, and I kind of imagine that, and then all of a sudden it's gone. You're not sure where it went, especially when there's 500 other balloons in the air. They're hard to keep track of. But Jesus was nowhere to be found. In some respects, I bet this was probably pretty sad for the disciples. But Jesus wasn't meant to be on earth forever. He's now sitting at God's right hand to overcome the distances between us and God, and the distances between one another. The ascension isn't Jesus turning away from us, leaving us. The ascension is what enables him to focus more intently on us. After the disciples watch Jesus lifted up in front of him, they stand there, slack-jawed, staring into the sky. I imagine fingers sort of pointing up to where he was last seen, sort of like looking around at each other and saying, well, did you see what happened here? What happened? Out of nowhere, these two guys wearing white, they're probably angels. Maybe even the same angels that were at the empty tomb. These two guys ask everyone, like, what are you doing standing around here pointing up at the empty sky? Jesus has been taken up to heaven, and he's going to come back the same way you saw him leave. Why are you pointing up there? I have to tell you, this question has bothered me for a very long time. All right. If Jesus was lifted up, right here, where I'm pointing, and you're telling me that he's coming back in the same way, why wouldn't I keep looking there? Of course course that's where I'm looking. I just saw something absolutely amazing, and it's going to happen again. Every year for the Balloon Fiesta, there are about 750,000 to 900,000 visitors in Albuquerque for that 1 week. It makes driving an absolute nightmare anywhere in the city. I'm not one to usually make fun of tourists, but that 1 week of the year, not a fan of tourists. Honestly, I would try my very best to avoid the whole northwest quadrant of Albuquerque as much as possible during the fiesta. It's not just the traffic, although there is a lot of traffic that makes the driving difficult. Like I mentioned, balloons kind of go wherever the wind takes them. Sometimes balloons kind of miss their landing target, and they might land in the middle of a street. It's even happened in the middle of I-25 once. There's also always an uptick in the number of auto accidents during this week, mostly because people are paying more attention to the pretty balloons in the sky than they are on the road in front of them. In the more accident-prone areas, the city of Albuquerque has placed signs along the streets that literally say, "Watch the road, not the sky." And that is obviously great advice for drivers. But that is also the message, what the messengers robed in white were trying to tell the disciples. The disciples were standing there, staring at the sky, when Jesus specifically told them they had work to do here on earth. When the messenger said Jesus will come back the same way, they didn't mean physically and in that space. They didn't mean Jesus was going to come back from the sky. They meant Jesus is going to come back in the same manner. That when Jesus comes back, it's going to be mysterious and it's going to be unexpected. So instead of gazing into heaven and speculating about times and seasons of return, there's work to be done, and the disciples must get ready for it. The mission is to continue doing and teaching what Jesus started. They will be given voices to speak truth to power and spread good news to the very ends of the earth. And we are challenged to do likewise. In an age of uncertainty and violence and heartache, how often do we find ourselves standing, looking up towards heaven, hoping that Jesus will come or someone else will come and fix this? I'm not discounting the power of prayer here. But we have been given the Holy Spirit to continue Jesus' work of visiting the sick, advocating for justice, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, praying, worshiping together. So don't look up. Keep your eyes on the road, not the sky. Jesus is still at the right hand of God, cheering us on. We have been given the Holy Spirit and all of the tools that we need to participate in the kingdom of God. Focus on the job at hand so we can be ready when Jesus joins us again. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. Before we go back into the world, let me offer a blessing. May your eyes cast heavenward give you the courage and energy to be about the work God has laid at your feet. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you today and all days. And all God's people say, Amen.